Take your Bible, please, and turn with us to the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, first verse. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start at 16th chapter, first verse. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel said, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peacefully? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Let us pray. Father, I thank you today once again for the precious word of God. Thank you for your goodness and love to us. And once again, as we come to you, we ask you, God, to fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that we might preach in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray again today for wisdom that we need. We need your wisdom, and I ask you for it. And Father, again, Lord, I need the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And I ask you, Lord, that it come from thee. And Father, we pray for an attentive spirit in this place. And I ask you, God, that you would help us as we preach, that people would listen and hear and be willing to mind the word of God. And once again, we're reminded, Father, we've been asked to pray for Sister Dolores Eichelman. And God, we pray for her today and ask you, God, that you would strengthen and help and lift her up and heal her body. And we certainly pray for Brother Bo's brother, Dave. And Father, we pray for him, the special need that he has today, that you would help him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to preach a message this morning which we've entitled, Looking at Everything Through God's Eyes. Looking at everything through God's eyes. The Bible tells us in verse number 7 that men look on the outward, but God looks upon the heart. That's a very important thing for us to remember. You know, we'll start this morning by talking about a building of a house. The foundation of a house, the building of the house. It must be absolutely strong and solid. The foundation's wrong, everything is wrong. It's all messed up. We went to build this church many, many years ago, and I remember it was so important that we got the foundation correct. I remember it's so important that we got it the right size, the right width, the right depth, and so that we would have enough strength to be able to build upon that foundation, this building. And this building certainly has stood and shows forth that the foundation was good. I remember when we built the metal building out there, and we brought in that packing sand underneath that cement out there, and we filled it like a swimming pool with water and just let water just soak down in. And you can't hardly find a crack out there in that cement out there in that building. And the reason is because the foundation was strong. It's so important also that we understand that a Christian must have a very solid foundation. If his foundation is off, then he's off. He must have the foundation. Of course, we know that there is only one foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. We also recognize that a church as a whole, spiritually, must have a very strong foundation. the foundation of this church, and we're not talking about the material foundation at this time, but the foundation of a church must be Jesus Christ, and we must stand upon that wonderful, wonderful foundation. Now, there's many people who have a general knowledge of Christianity, but that knowledge is all jumbled up in order. We want to do our best to try to straighten some things out and lay some simple foundations. Oh, they know that Christianity involves faith. They know it involves God, and they know it involves the devil, and they know it involves heaven and hell and baptism and church membership and works. But too many times they get those all out of place and out of order. And so what we're wanting to do, we're trying to put some of those pieces in place. We know that we must have everything in order the way that it must be. You can't put works before faith. That would be wrong, because it's faith that saves us. It's faith in how we come to Jesus and are born again into His family. And then, of course, we work because we have faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that all my life. I've seen it down through the years. Where folk really have faith in Christ, you'll see works of God come out of their life. That's just the way it is. But the works do not save. It's the faith in Jesus Christ. And like I say, a lot of folks got things all messed up. Baptism, sometimes people get that all messed up in their life. They don't understand that baptism is not salvation. And let me say to you, it is not, according to the Bible. It's not salvation, but baptism is very, very important. Baptism we should do, and we should follow in baptism because God has instructed us to be baptized. Not only that, church membership will not save anybody. We understand that, and we know that, and we must understand that it's not church membership that has ever, ever, ever saved any person. But at the same time, once we are saved, born into the family of God, we certainly ought to be a member of a good, solid, independent, fundamental Baptist church. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. I have conviction about that. We ought to do that. So we want to try to put all these pieces together, especially concerning salvation today. You know, if we went to build a building, and I don't know how you would do it, but we can't put the doors where the windows are, and we can't put the rafters where the floor is, and put the floor where the rafters are, and all those kind of things. We got to do it right, don't we? We got to have it just right down the line the way that God says it ought to be. Now, men's opinion will change. Men's opinion will differ from individual to individual. But God's, I started to say opinion, it is an opinion, but God's Word never changes. It is always absolutely the same. You could talk to 100 men, and you could talk to them, and you'd have some think this thing, and some think that away. But God never, ever, ever, ever changes. Never, ever, ever, ever. You see, man's opinion is based upon what he sees and hears. But God's opinion is based upon His holy, unchangeable Word. What God says, and it's absolutely, then we know, absolutely true. Now, we find the story here of David, of course, being anointed. We didn't read on down into that story, but we find that Samuel was sent of God to the sons of Jesse to find out there a king that he was going to anoint. Now, we found out that that king was going to be David. But if you understand, even the dad, Jesse, the dad of David, did not really understand. He was looking at the outward appearance when he brought all seven of his other sons before Samuel to be anointed. Even the dad could not pick out what that was, that special thing that was going to be about David, that God wanted him to be the king of Israel. And even Samuel, here the prophet of God, the man of God, could not pick out that. He looked at Eliab and he said, surely this must be the king that stands before us that I'm to anoint today. He couldn't see it either, you see. And the reason is because men look upon the outward and God looks upon the heart. It is so important that you do not get drawn away by the outward appearance of any individual or the ability of any individual, the outward ability of any individual. Don't get drawn away by those things. We've got to let God help us to understand He looks upon the heart of an individual. We've got to understand that. So you see, man looks in the outward appearance, and God looks up on the heart. We find that here there was the oldest son as he was brought. Very handsome man, I'm sure, and stood high above probably the other ones. And they looked at him and they said, boy, this must be the one. But you know what we find a little later on in the scriptures? There was three of the eldest sons of Jesse that they went to the battle, if you know, with the Philistines. And of course you know the story of Goliath and how that they ran from that battle. They did not have the faith, and they did not have the strength to go into that battle as David did. And God knew way back, way down the line, that David would have the faith and the strength to stand up to Goliath. And yet the three other older sons of Jesse did not have that. And if it had been left up to man, we'd have found old Samuel anointing one of these men to be king. So it's very important, you see, that men's opinions about things of God, it just doesn't matter one bit. What we've got to understand is that we've got to look at it from God's point of view and see what God says in His Word. Do you know today, if we would line up 10 men up here and we were told to divide the ones that were saved and the ones that were unsaved, do you know what we would do? We would more than likely look at the outward appearance. And not just the physical outward appearance, but their demeanor and how they act and what they say. We would look at that and we would divide them. And let me say to you, nothing wrong with that, because we can't see anything else. All we can see is the outward appearance. All we can see is how people act. And let me say to you, that is important. It's important that we look right on the outside, that we act right, we talk right, and all of those things, because it will help people to see there's Christ in us. But let me say to you, God still looks at the inward man. He looks at the heart. He does not look at the outward appearance. You could have some old scraggly person come in here and hadn't shaven in months and maybe dirty and all of that, and he could be a Christian. He absolutely could be a born-again Christian, a child of God. And God knows that simply because God looks up on the heart. You see, the only way that our opinion can agree with God's is if we get into the Word of God and see what God says about the Bible, the Word of God. And then if our opinion adds up according to God's Word, then we know we're right. We absolutely will not be wrong. You see, the Bible is God's Word, and without it, we absolutely have nothing. Just real quickly, the construction of the Word of God. 66 books written by at least 40 different writers over a period of 1,600 years. And there is not a contradiction in the Bible, the Word of God, not one in His Word. Not one. All of it points, and let me say to you, with one single theme in the Bible, and that single theme is Jesus Christ and His redemptive work. All through the Bible, from beginning to end, we see the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. One theme, and yet you imagine 40 different men used of God to write that over a period of 1,600 years, and yet it all comes down to one theme. And the work of Jesus Christ is that one theme that we see throughout the Word of God. We find the prophecies in God's Word. Two-thirds of the Bible, when it was written, was prophecy. And we are finding those fulfilled to 100% accuracy. You see, there's no way a writer of the Word of God years and years and years back could ever have known these people were going to exist, or how they was going to exist, or what they was going to do. It would have been an impossibility for that to happen. You see, the Bible claims, and it claims to be the Word of God. It is God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That is God's Word. Absolutely. You can be assured of it. You can know it. You can absolutely know that when you read this Bible, it is absolutely the Word of God. So you see, if our thinking, our line of thinking, adds up or goes along with the Bible, the Word of God, our position is not Baptist, or our position is not some denominational position. Our position is the Bible position.